Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing in this glorious festive season?
Hola. Yes, I'm feeling very festive. I've not bought all of my Christmas presents. We've not really talked about how we're going to be releasing shows over Christmas, which is fascinating, really. I suppose we'll be recording right through the season. So, yeah, many happy returns. Happy Christmas, everyone. Chris, I've done something over the weekend that you don't know about. And I...
Oh, God.
Hopefully soon... to join the ranks of the driving populace. I passed my theory test over the weekend. So not only am I tootling around in my scooter, I'm also now all theory tested up.
What was your score? What did you get? I think I got full marks on my theory, and I failed my practical once, and I passed it the second time. How'd you do?
I see. I got 49 out of 50 in the theory, and the hazard perception test was a little lower. But they don't tell you what you got wrong. That's the annoying thing. Because some of the questions are genuinely stupid. They're just like, they're like, it's stuff like, if you see a pedestrian in a yellow high-vis jacket and a red sort of sign in their hands, what are you looking at? And it's like a public walk or something, like an organized walk. It's like, when have you ever seen an organized walk? And why would you ever need to know? Unless they're walking across the road, you're not bothered. I don't care about the organized walk.
Organized walk.
And just stuff like if you see an accident, what should you do if you see a person like passed out in the street? Offer them a drink. Ask if they have any allergies. It's like, Jesus Christ, guys.
The real
Try
answer,
take
the
motorcycle
selfie.
Man's helmet off. Yeah, take a selfie.
Take it, grab a selfie and write
This is a bloody mess, isn't it? Tweet it. This is a mess, isn't it?
But that's great. That's really great. And then all you need to do then is get the, once you pass the real test, which hopefully you can do in one or two times.
That's the real quiz.
Yeah, I mean, the hazard perception is a joke. I remember when I did it, and I've never passed a test and got full marks in my life, but I got full marks on hazard perception because it was like, you get like a photo, don't you? You're in a car and you've got like a photo on the screen, and there's like a child about to like run in front of your car, and it's like, is this dangerous? Answer number one, yes. Answer number two, no. And it's like, wow.
Mine was all videos, and it was like, in the mock tests I did online, there were old videos of like Old Street in the 80s, the Old Street roundabout. And clearly all they did was just drive around London for 5 minutes and just go, right, that's a hazard, because driving around London is a nightmare. Like people just stopping on the middle of Old Street roundabout to let passengers on and stuff. Just an absolute shit show from start to finish. But the footage was really grainy and there were hazards happening all of the time. But when I got the actual thing itself, it was all 3D. It was all cool and 3D. And I was like, wow, these 3D graphics look amazing. PS5 level. And so the hazards were a little easier to see, but I didn't do quite so well because as a non-driver, I just think everything's a hazard. And I tell you what, it gives you way more respect or care of being a pedestrian doing those hazard perception tests, because I walk out in front of cars all of the time, and
of course
cars
you do.
Just roll with Cars just roll the bodies. Now the shoe is on the other foot, the boot's on the other foot. I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't be doing any of this. This is really dangerous.
You've made Hazard Perception sound arguably more fun than Cyberpunk 2077, Pete. You've
less sold glitches.
It. Sounds fun. Fewer less glitches probably is. For God's sake. Poor old Cyberpunk. But that's great news, though. It means, like, when you eventually come over here, hopefully next year, you can get your international driver's license and frolic off in the hills of Tohoku in your car, in your sports car. And
how do you,
it'll be glorious.
How do you, like, get... How do you? Because I'm planning on getting an automatic license. How do you get a... how do you sort of drive? I'm sure you've talked about it before, but what are the... Do you have to go through a little test to actually drive?
No, not if you've got an international driver's license. Like, you just go to the post office, in the UK anyway, just go to the post office,
right.
You pay, I think, about £100, they stamp a document, and you're done. You can drive for a year in Japan.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Oh, cool.
Glorious. And it's easy, because, of course, in Japan, they drive on the correct side of the road. Like the UK, everyone, we got it right first. We win. Mm. We get it, like, but no, for American drivers, I think most of the world in general, it's a little bit more tricky. But for UK drivers, it's glorious. And from my experience,
beautiful.
Japanese drivers are way better than British drivers or just drivers in many other countries. They're more considerate. Mm. Like, you're less likely to have someone tailgate you aggressively and ram you off the road. But the elderly drivers you've got to watch out for here, because they are the ones who cause most of the accidents. And I think road accidents are going down generally in Japan, but they're also going up for the sort of over 50s age bracket, because so much of the population in Japan is now elderly. That's a real issue. And do you remember, like, a year ago, I think either last year or the year before, the Japanese government were actually giving out, like, coupons to people over 80 who gave up their license. You get a coupon for, like, free ramen and stuff, because they were so dangerous. These drivers, like,
wow,
so, free
That's
ramen,
hilarious.
Give it up, save the country. But yeah,
it's like whenever I see the Queen drive, I just sort of think, oh, that's. I mean, she's cracking on a bit, and if she kills someone, I'm fairly certain we can't put her in prison. So,
well, Prince Philip, I mean, her husband. With the old Range Rover.
Well, didn't he flip his car quite recently? Yeah.
He flipped someone else's car, I think. But yeah, that was pretty hardcore.
Oh, right, okay. Exciting.
We don't... Luckily, Range Rovers don't seem to exist in Japan. I don't think I've ever seen one. So that you don't have to worry about that. Or Prince Philip, for that matter. Fortunately, he's not here.
No.
Driving down the roads like a maniac. We've got a story from Mike this week, story of the week, and it begins, "Hi, Chris and Pete. While listening to your podcast last Sunday, it reminded me of one of our encounters with Yakuza from our trip to Hokkaido in summer 2019. I think Mike is referencing the guy who was in Ibaraki. Do you remember that one? There was a football team in Ibaraki, and they went in to save their friend, and they they said that their friend was under the protection of a Yakuza leader who turned out to be the Yakuza leader that was harassing the woman. It was a gambit that failed pretty horrifically. Anyway, during our stay in Hakodate," Mike continues, "my quite tattooed friend Tom and I were longing for some ramen. And it was raining and we were a bit cold, so we thought, yeah, let's have some ramen. We found a restaurant, but we were surprised as even though it just opened, there were already two guys sitting in there eating their meal. While ordering from a machine near the entrance, one of those guys turned around and started pointing to my friend's traditional tattoo sleeve and admired the craft. Once my friend explained that it's done by one of the Hiroshi Three, well-known tattoo artists in Japan, one of his pupils, they started getting excited and they started having a weird exchange, showing each other the rest of their tattoos, from which I remember the green snake on the guy's belly. But once we noticed that this smiling guy was missing a few fingers, it struck us that he's most likely not a worker at a sawmill. As our order was ready, we humbly said goodbye to enjoy our dinner. I'm not saying it was scary, but we're not sure how they might react to foreigners from Europe having traditional tattoos. Have you ever heard stories about foreigners being attacked by Japanese people for having tattoos? As you mentioned a couple of times in your podcast, that they can still be seen groups protesting against foreigners in Japan. Keep up the good work. Regards from Mike." Went from a story to a question. I don't think you're ever going to have trouble having a tattoo in Japan. If anything, as we've just seen from Mike's story, having a tattoo means you might have a nice conversation with the local yakuza over some ramen.
Should we have like a moratorium on this question? It's crazy, isn't it? I don't think there's a single week that goes by where someone asks about like tattoos, whether they're okay, whether they're not okay. Can I get in this onsen? Can I get this onsen? Shall we just call this podcast the "It's Okay to Have Tattoos in Japan" like podcast? How many questions we get about tattoos, and how many stories you get about tattoos as well. I was thinking about like this yakuza who'd lost a couple of fingers. Sounds like he's a bad yakuza because he just keeps on having to chisel off fingers in apology. Would that would make that like I would feel more comfortable if my yakuza guy had fewer fingers, because if I got into a fight with him, I think it would be harder to ball up a hand to make a fist if you're losing fingers. While you're doing that story, I was trying to think. Well, I was, because if you chisel it, even if you chisel it at the highest joint, there's something about your fingernails being pressed into the palm of your hand that makes, you know, the whole making a fist kind of possible. So like the tightness wouldn't be there. So you'd just be kind of like flapping fingers at you. flapping fingers at you. And I can't figure it out really. You would have less purchase, I suppose.
I wonder how many listeners around the world now are listening in just trying to make a palm.
Imagine if that joint that has your fingernails on. Imagine if you didn't have that, and I presume some of our listeners will be missing digits. Like, is it harder to make a hard fist if you're missing digits? I think it might be.
Well, that is a question that I'd love to know the answer to.
I'm trying to reverse slowly out of. Is it okay to have Tattoo Boulevard? That's what I'm trying to get us out of, and I think
Is it all right to fight the yakuza with no fingers? God,
exactly.
But I mean, that's a nice little interaction. And you know, a lot of my friends have met the yakuza. Say they're all right, pretty normal people. Just don't get caught up in business, and certainly never take a loan from them, because that's where things really get nasty. I like to think that Mike said he was on his trip, on his travels with a guy called Tom. I'd like to think it's the same Tom from last week's. story on the podcast where a guy called Tom was sick all over a train in Kyoto. I like to imagine it's just these two going through
a week, hasn't he?
Going through Japan, having a whale of a time, meeting yakuza and being sick all over trains. But we'll never know unless Tom gets back to us, which he should. No, don't fight the yakuza, but let us know what it's like to have a fight with less fingers, because I'm keen to know as well. We've got a story this week from it's kind of a question meets a news story, and it's from Yuka.
Right, okay.
It begins, "Dear Chris and Pete, my name is Yuka, fan of the channel, and I listen every week. The other day, I read an interesting article in the top news of Yahoo Japan. For those who don't know, Yahoo Japan is still a thing. Like, while Yahoo died out like 5 years ago, Yahoo Japan is still like incredibly successful. It's a bit like the fax machine, the Galapagos of Japan. Kind of vibe. Did you know that? Did you know Yahoo's big?
Yahoo. I think, to be honest, a lot of their web design seems to really hark back to Yahoo.jp. That seems to be what everyone's striving to look like a piece of shit GeoCities site from 1993.
GeoCity. Oh God. Yahoo Japan got bought by a different company, but they kept the brand name. So it's Yahoo only.
It's a licensed sort of job. I see.
That's
interesting.
Why it's still popular. While the rest of the world moved on a very long time ago. Anyway, back to Yahoo News. Yuka says, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this news article. The article said, the article was about world rankings of countries that people want to move to. The top five countries being number one, Canada, number two, Japan, number three, Spain, number four, Germany, and number five, Qatar. And she's linked some articles here from Time Out. As for Europe, people mainly chose to live in Germany, and the UK seems to have chosen Canada as the country wants to live in the most. The countries that chose Japan to live in were the US, Canada, Australia, and Southeast Asia, or the whole region of Southeast Asia. The article does not give details, but I thought this result was unthinkable until a few years ago. Personally, I think the reason is YouTube, especially abroad in Japan and Charmeleon. Sharla, because what Japan has broadcast overseas is only anime and NHK World, so I don't think that these would lead to an increase in people wanting to live here. Japanese people think the world is not very interested in Japan, so I'm very happy to know that many countries are actually interested in living here. Sorry, this is not my experience story. Thank you for the great content. Stay safe. Yuka from Japan. I suppose that is an interesting point. Like, I wonder why Japan is the number two spot on the list. I can see why Canada's number one. I think most people in the UK, if you just asked a British person where they would live, they'd say Canada, even though many of them have never been there. It's just a sort of romantic place. But Japan, that's quite an interesting one. What do you think it is that Japan's so popular, Pete? Is it abroad in Japan?
Is it sort of quality of living, even though it's very expensive? I guess
could be.
You know, it's got the highest you know, everyone's older than everyone reaches a riper age than anywhere else, so maybe it's that. So obviously they see that as quality of living. I don't know. I mean, the food's great. If you're a foodie, it's great. If you kind of think it's like this futuristic place where you can make money, even though, as discussed on this podcast, it frequently isn't, and you can't make money because everyone's so stuck in their ways.
A futuristic place where you can make money. That is the best description of Japan I've ever heard. it's cool. I kind of get it. I think because Kyoto is one of the top five cities in the world, like ranking in terms of ranking to live in. Tokyo is always in the top five. Kyoto is often in the top five as well. And they're beautiful cities and great places to live. Mm. But I mean, would you put it in your top list of countries to live in out of that list?
Yes, of course I would.
I mean, we've got Canada, Japan, Spain, Germany, and Qatar. Would Japan take number one spot out of those five?
I mean, Qatar wouldn't be really. Qatar wouldn't be up
the bloody
top,
hot,
actually,
wouldn't it?
But yeah, well, yeah, exactly. My skin, good lord. Yeah, Spain. I mean, Spain's beautiful. Spain, everywhere's great. I just look. You make me salivate at the idea of traveling. Like, saying how good, see how cool. Rank these countries in order. I'm like, mate, I'd love to fucking go to any of those countries right now. Shitbag.
I mean, I certainly would as well. And I do like to think though that I don't know. Do you think the YouTube channel could have had an effect? I don't think there's any way that the Abroad in Japan channel is going to shift the opinions of the global population, but I like to think it's helped a bit because, as Yuka said, NHK World, if you've ever seen NHK World, it doesn't do the best job selling Japan. It's all a bit awkward and weird and a bit cringy, to be honest, having been on it myself a few times. I guess it's the anime, though. Anime and manga as well. It's probably swung it.
Yeah.
Probably a factor. But
if you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
I think I've always found that Japanese people are amazed that people seem to know Japan exists. They're very kind of surprised that Japan is like known in any way. I don't know why that is. I think it's because Japan often feels like its own sort of bubble, right? It's a bit of a bubble over here. And a lot of people don't get to travel outside Japan. Like folks living in Japan don't get to travel much. So they feel the country's a bit isolated, and they feel like, you know, a lot of people don't get to know that it exists as well as a result. But Japan is very popular. And I think most British people would love to come here, and certainly American folks I speak to as well. Don't know. What do you reckon? What do you think?
And I think that you are doing yourself a disservice there. I think your YouTube channel would have helped on this particular.
Definitely, it was all the Abroad in Japan channel. It was me bumbling around trying to find Mount Fuji, eating some Kit Kats, eating some KFC,
finding those weird little fairgrounds that you got.
That's exactly why. That's exactly what swung it. Speaking of KFC, I've made the order. I've made the kill order. KFC's on its way to Natsuki's house.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Beautiful. Lovely old job. You going to get a haircut at the same time?
KFC.
Hair in your three-piece.
Oh, God. KFC and haircut. Could be Natsuki's go-to. Could be Natsuki's selling point for his hair salon. Like, interestingly, like I've noticed in recent years, a lot of hair salons in Japan, barbers, they will provide you with beer and a haircut. So you can have a haircut, have a bit of beer. Which you told me every place in London does anyway. So I thought Japan was special. But Natsuki doesn't do it. You think Natsuki of all people.
No.
He'd be get a haircut, have a beer, have a cigar. Yeah. keeping cigars and haircuts. But is it sad that I'm excited about the KFC Christmas menu? Is that sad, Pete?
No, not at all. I think that's it's very exciting. I think it's like an entire turkey, isn't it? Like fried or something and in a big old bucket. It's very weird.
It's from what I remember, and it was a long time ago. I think we're talking like 6 or 7 years now. It's a bit of chicken in a plastic sack with gravy in, and you stick it in the microwave and then cut the kind of plastic sack open and that is your Christmas dinner. It's not going to be quite the same
Blade
as
Runner.
Being home in the UK, is it? Have you got a nice...
dropped out of a plastic sheath.
It's horrible. Have you got a nice dinner lined up for yourself?
Yeah, I reckon so. Mainly because my mum's not cooking it. I love my mum, but that is not one of her strengths. She prefers the driest of the meats. But we don't generally eat a lot of turkey. I can't remember the last time I had turkey or anything chickeny over Christmas. She'll invariably get a bit of beef, maybe a bit of lamb if we're lucky, but she will insist on it being bone dry.
Oh dear, your poor mum.
Yeah. Oh dear.
I'm sure she's a great cook. Really, you just got high standards.
She has a go at me about how badly I eat, and I remember growing up. We used to have egg and chips every day. Fried egg, chips, maybe some peas and carrots if we're lucky. Fair dues. But I don't know how she dares, quite frankly. And I love her a lot. And she did great on very limited resources. But it's a bit bloody rich to say that my diet's terrible when we used to have fried eggs every day.
I'm sure your diet's not that bad. You're doing yourself a disservice here. I've seen you eat.
Oh, it's a lot better. It's a lot better, yeah. No.
But then, you know, I'm comparing your diet to mine, so I'm not really.
Oh yeah, yours is even for a man your age, yours is astonishing, Christopher.
A diet
absolutely astonishing.
A diet comprised of interestingly flavored Kit Kats and KFC Christmas bucket. Awful, isn't it? Oh, I'm looking at my coffee in my hand as I speak, and feeling
Christ,
a sense of guilt.
Lordy.
But now, let me escape from the guilt and let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week in our fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, we got a message from Will from Northern UK. How exotic. Hi, Chris. Hi, Pete. First of all, thank you for running the podcast and keeping me entertained over the last year or so while driving to and from work. I took the plunge and travelled to Tokyo, Hakone and Yokohama back in January, just before the big C came. That's coronavirus, not cancer, because obviously they're very different, very different diseases. Big C is always cancer, isn't it? I don't think coronavirus can steal big C from cancer. And thankful that I managed to make my long-awaited trip before all of the flights got stopped. After hearing about the last listener's error in saying the wrong phrases, I thought I'd throw in my bad times I had whilst trying to speak the language when I was there as well. I learned Japanese back at university a decade ago and picked it up here and there from watching Japanese shows on Netflix along with anime. But I was always a little bit too shy to speak it as I was worried I might say something wrong or rudely, accidentally. When I was travelling in Japan, one of the phrases I wanted to say was, "Sorry, my Japanese isn't very good." And from memory, I kept on saying, "Gomen, watashi no nihongo wa hetakuso," which I thought sounded right until I found out after I came back from my travels that all this time I was saying, "Sorry, my Japanese is really shit," and remembered that I definitely said this to a lot of strangers, including old people while traveling, but I was never told that it was rude. Did I accidentally offend someone while saying hetakuso instead of heta? And were they being polite by not correcting my poor knowledge? I know Japan has a deep amount of respect and manners, and I hope I didn't come across as rude. Keep up the good work on the videos. He actually writes shit videos and shit podcast. One day, I hope to travel to Japan again, but going further outside of Tokyo. Hetakuso. So kuso is shit then, is it?
It is, yeah, and heta means unskilled or bad or not very good.
Okay.
It's not good. That's pretty awkward. a country where swearing is barely a thing. Like I forget about that. Like swearing in Japan doesn't really exist that much in everyday speech. So that would be could be quite shocking. But you know, it kind of works, I guess. Like what he said there, right? Gomen, watashi no nihongo wa hetakuso. That would be like, my Japanese is shit. Like that.
It's pretty so awkward. Strong. So needlessly
it is.
Strong.
It is. Like when I first got here, I had to do a speech to my school, all the teachers, 120 teachers in the staff room. And I didn't know any Japanese. And I like memorized like four lines, one of which was, like, sumimasen, watashi no nihongo wa mada heta desu yo. Like, mada heta desu yo. Like, still bad. My Japanese is still bad. But imagine if I just stood up and go, watashi no nihongo wa hetakuso. Like, my Japanese is shit. My first impression. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear, dear Will.
That's bad, that is. But Natsuki's pretty bad. Whenever my friends come over, I had a friend come visit like a year ago, and Natsuki taught him the phrase kusotare, which means like shit. Like it's quite, you know, a blunt, another blunt way of saying shit. It's shit or awful.
Right, okay.
Kusotare. And my friend was just like, "Oh, it's really funny," and just like walked around just saying it in shops, like picking up things, being like, "Kusotare."
Oh,
and like the staff would be like, "Who is this prick?" Like it's like, just annoying. When you learn a
you know,
swear
like
word.
How, do you know how tabemasu is to eat and tabemono is food sort of thing? So
yeah.
Would kusumono be actual shit?
This is a bad idea, teaching swear words. It's never a good idea. It only
never
gets used.
Idea. You literally did a video
used
about it.
I did, yeah. But I didn't. I've never taught Japanese swear words, though, have I? I don't want to use. I want people using that power for evil.
We should do, I think.
But But they love, it's weird, they love swearing in Japan in English. They don't do it in Japanese, but when it comes to English, they love it, as we've seen in, in various Abroad in Japan episodes. It's just exciting. Like, somebody sent me a photo the other day of a Japanese guy that they'd seen walking down the street in, like, Shinjuku, and he had a jacket on, and there was one word on the jacket that had just been covered all over the jacket, the same word, about 250 times, and the word was just fuck. This guy was just walking through the street. Like this fuck jacket. I said, what was he thinking?
But you,
I guess
you do
again,
see it a lot, yeah.
It's just like very bizarre.
I remember a man was walking down the street, and in English, well, English and Japan crossed, it literally just said, I am hentai man. That was just a bloke, like me and my mate Craig was just creasing him. I am hentai man. That said, I mean, you know, when it comes to like, I've seen people on the tube around Halloween, Japanese guys dressed as fucking Nazi officers. So I don't think they're not shrinking violets, the Japanese, when it comes to stuff. They don't really think about the cultural significance about what they're getting up to be quite frank. So yeah.
Fair point.
Fuck.
Oh God.
Fuck.
I want to find that jacket. That would go down well in a video. Probably get demonetized, but what a way. What a way to go.
What a way to go.
We've got one here from Eric from Texas who says, hey guys, I hope the dynamic duo are doing well. I'm back with yet another question. I've heard that most hot springs in Japan sell glass bottles of milk for enjoying after the hot spring. And that it's usually local small batch milk, sometimes with fruit flavored ones. Flute flavored? Oh God, fruit flavored as well. Is this true? Have you partaken? Inquiring minds wish to know. Keep up the entertainment. Eric from Texas. Yes, Eric, all hot springs, when you come out, the first thing you do is have like a milkshake, like some flavored milk, some strawberry milk, chocolate milk. It's like a tradition, basically, in Japan. Have you done that, right, Pete, when you went in? Did you grab the chocolate milk?
No, I don't remember getting milk. I missed out my... Maybe I did have a chocolate milk, you know. But I thought that was my choice. And my choice alone. Why is the milk kind of the situation? Is it just kind of like it's sugary and it gives you a little pick-me-up? And
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, after the hot spring, you feel a bit like buggered for a little bit. And you're a bit dehydrated. So the kind of sugary, milky goodness brings you back to good form. But you've got to do it. It's so nice. When you come out boiling, sweating, steaming, and you get a nice, cool glass bottle of milk, you down it. It's just the most amazing thing.
Lovely.
So that's what it's all about, Eric. Get the milk.
Nice. Get that milk.
Got milk. Wonderful stuff. Got one from Krista.
Hello, Krista. Where are we at? Krista. I can't even bloody find Krista's one. Where's Krista? Oh, yeah, Melbourne, Australia. I hope December is treating you well. Chris, what have I said about tattoo emails? Chris, I wonder if a tattoo is on the cards for you. Have you given any more thought to what you'd like written or represented? That is, if you hadn't already gone out and gotten one or several. I think it's a moving experience having gotten one recently. Perhaps you could create a homage to Fuji-san, saying that there's no longer bad blood between the two of you. Congratulations, and thanks, Renata, for a wonderful year of work from the both of you. Thank you, Krista. I'm back on board with Krista. I was against this whole email until they said something nice about me. Please know you've helped lots of people keep it together. Remember what day it is and plod along through to the end of this godforsaken year. Keep up the good work. Chris, can I suggest you get a tattoo where the head of Mount Fuji is your neck? And then like your head is coming out of Mount Fuji. That'd be brilliant.
That would be quite artistic and brilliant. Too artistic for me, I fear. I, you know, with the old tattoo thing, I do kind of want one, but deep down, I think it's just not going to happen. Something about my personality, because I do things I regret, and I think I would look down at my arm or face or wherever the tattoo would be and be like, yeah, don't know if I should have got that. Can we get it off now? And that's what I worry about. I'm so fickle. I know I'd get something on a whim and then probably not want it there like a week later. Could be a fun video though, getting a tattoo on and getting it removed in the same episode. But I'd love Mount Fuji. Get the Journey Across Japan logo stuck on my arm or something. But yeah, that's the question though, isn't it? I don't know what to get. I just keep changing. So.
Get like a really cool like neck tattoo saying demonetized. The bad boy of YouTube is here.
Demonetized. Yeah. I will think about it. I feel like it's got to be something YouTube related, though, because that is what I do, isn't it? I'm a YouTuber.
Right. Yeah,
and
true.
I feel like it needs to be done. Yeah. So.
Where's me lens cap? Right. Where's me lens cap on your cheek?
Oh, God. I get beaten up for having such a crap tattoo. I've got one here from Richard. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a relatively new listener, to the podcast in the last 6 months or so. It has been really interesting to hear about Japanese culture and how much it differs from the UK and the West in general. I'm not sure if this has been covered before, but much of the portrayal of Japan and Western culture is of a humble, dedicated people, but also Blade Runner type worlds. How is this seen in Japan? Are they happy with this view, or do they feel unfairly typecast? Are they even aware of it at all? I hope to travel to Japan one day, as I'd love to try all the food. Keep up the great work. Richard from Manchester." It's an interesting question, Richard. I would say they are ambivalent about how they're portrayed, to be honest. I've never, ever seen anyone really get offended. Like, Japanese people rarely offended by people discussing their culture or having views on it. Mm. The only time I remember there was a bit of outcry was, do you remember a year ago, Kim Kardashian was going to bring out these godforsaken tights, these Spanx things or something, and she went to call them the Kim Kardashian kimono range or something. And a lot of people said that was cultural appropriation or whatever. And I thought it was pretty crap, to be honest, because a lot of people might have just grown up thinking that a kimono is a Kim Kardashian product as opposed to a key part of Japanese culture. That was the only time I saw outcry in Japan, and lots of Japanese women on Twitter were quite vocal and sort of begged Kim Kardashian not to do that. And eventually she sort of didn't do it. And I don't know what happened with her range. I'm sure she named it something else. But that's the only time I've seen any folks here get annoyed about how kind of get annoyed or defensive about the culture. But as for depictions of Japan, no, they don't really mind, from my experience. Any thoughts, Pete?
I mean, I think I'd really like any country to have the traditional Spanx as their traditional dress. just very tight stomachs. just bulging stomachs.
God. In winter in Japan, everybody wears these heat tech clothes from Uniqlo, and I've been wearing them recently out and about. They're just like tights, and you wear them under your trousers.
Thermal, yeah. Beautiful,
and they're not very flattering around my stomach area. It's pretty grim, to be honest. If I put them on, it's a strong indicator
Spanx
of where
for men,
yeah, Spanx for men. As long as they're not called kimono, I'm happy. Andrew Sneddon from Leeds, over to you, Pete.
Andrew Sneddon from Leeds says, "Love the podcast and the videos. We were due to visit at Easter, but that all got wiped out due to COVID. My question is, when did you first become aware of Japan? For me, I guess it was as a kid watching Battle of the Planets, aka Gatchaman, Science Ninja Team, and Monkey. Musically, it has to be Yellow Magic Orchestra. They were formed in 1978 by Haruomi Hosono, Yukihiro Takahashi, and their most famous member, Ryuichi Sakamoto. I still listen to this very day, and it also opened my ears to other Japanese music." Anderson and Lisa. I think I've got a couple of Yellow Magic Orchestra. I think also I personally was a big fan of the Japanese punk band High Standard, who were very good, if a little derivative. And also there was, is it the Tokyo something orchestra? They used to do like TV theme tunes, and they were really joyous. They did these amazing jazzy kind of versions of like Sesame Street and stuff. Tokyo something orchestra. Try and check them out.
I mean,
if you can find them anywhere with that ridiculous description.
I don't know, really. I think I was watching Michael Palin's Around the World in 80 Days when I was a kid, where he goes around the world from London to London, back again, all around the world. And he comes to Japan and he's just really confused. And like, he's gone on these whirlwind trips through deserts and seas and gone on a real adventure. And he just gets to Japan. He's really confused. And I thought that looks kind of cool. But I don't know. It could be either that, You Only Live Twice, or playing Pokemon cards. I don't know. But luckily, none of those things really formed my image of Japan. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to reflect on that a little bit, Andrew. But it is just You Only Live Twice, the James Bond film. And as we've established in previous episodes, not the best depiction of Japan. But keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Wednesday to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And I'm off to get some KFC. See you later. Have a good one.
don't get sexy with it, like the TV show.
Oh.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.